Father, thank you for today. We just thank you that we can come together. Lord, and we just thank you for your word. Just quicken us the truth and the power, Lord, that is in your word, that we may receive it, Lord, apply it, and see it, Lord, producing fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to just continue about our understanding about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is probably, as I said before, you know, one of the areas that is least understood in the church because of the ears of teaching and ideas that did not cover the topic properly. The reason for that is that it was lost, in a way, at the beginning. And even, you know, at the beginning, we can see that there are some indications that not everybody, although they were moving in the Spirit, although they were operating in that way, not everybody fully understood what was involved. And I read this last week, but, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experience that is an addition to the being born again. And really, though, it's not just a one-time experience. You know, we are, the Bible talks about being full with the Holy Spirit all the time. And we have, can open ourselves up to that to a degree. See, the Holy Spirit works on everybody, even non-believers, because that's the way non-believers come to God anyway. Okay, it's the work of the Holy Spirit that draws them in. Okay, the difference is the degree to which we are open to this work of the Holy Spirit. The degree to which we allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us and we receive what he has in store for us. So even, you know, as I share with you, you know, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1974. You know, even then, okay, that was many years ago. But even then, you know, that was, it was the initial experience. I had many other experiences in which the infilling of the Holy Spirit increased, both because of my understanding and both because of my actual experience. Okay. Like I was baptized in water after I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, well, it shouldn't be the other way around. But, you know, with God, there are no rules. There are example, for example, Cornelius, there was baptized, you know, was, you know, born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, just at, actually at the same time. And then the conclusion was, well, you know, if he got baptized, you know, if he is baptized in the Holy Spirit, if he's born again, he should be able to get also baptized in water. And so they baptized him by water after. See, there is not, the Holy Spirit goes as he will, not the way, you know, we try to put them in boxes according to our theology and then expect him to operate in a certain way. And as a consequence of that, we actually block him to be able to do the work he wants to do with us. You know, the idea that has been around for a long time, you know, when you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to tarry, you have to wait. You don't have to wait anything. That's man's ideas. See, the only thing you have to do is to be open to receive. Because the Holy Spirit, you know, they had to wait because there's a scripture that says, you know, wait until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You know, but that was the apostles in those days. There was, you know, when the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured down. But with Jesus, it's clear that after, you know, Jesus poured down the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, then it's available to everybody. Everybody that is born again, evidently. And he's willing. And he's wanting it. And he's open. And appropriated by faith. So, let me take some scripture. You know, we're going to also see the blockages, the hindrances for us to receive it. Because there are actually, you know, factors that makes it more difficult, for example, to receive it, to receive that experience, like everything else. You know, if you have been taught that it's something you shouldn't have, evidently, or, you know, it's past and it's not here anymore, then that's what you're going to do, and you're going to be close to receive it. See, there is a component there that has to do with what you believe. Because according to your faith, it's done unto you. So let's go a moment. You know, there are many other factors that we're going to be, see, you know, the one of the first group that is mentioned, they are in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, were the Samaritan. Okay, and the Samaritan were considered by the Jew as unclean. So if it was somebody, they should not be receiving the Holy Spirit, it was the Samaritan, according to the Jews. See, God has a sense of humor. I mean, the person that you think least that you should get something end up getting it before. And you probably, you know, trying to clean up yourself and do all the good things and don't get it and say, you know, and say, well, what's wrong here? There's something wrong. Well, yeah, it's your thinking is wrong. Because you want to put God into a box to do things according to the way you think instead of the way he does. See, God has his own ways and his own plans. You know, then sometimes we do not understand. The thing is, he wants us to understand so that we can cooperate with him. So let's see here. You know, because from the point of view of the Jews, the Samaritans were unclean, were full of demons, were something that they shouldn't even didn't want to associate with because were undeserving, unworthy. Well, evidently, it wasn't God's ideas because the first group that talks about receiving the Holy Spirit were the Samaritan. And doesn't tell us something? So let me go back to Acts chapter 8 in verse 3. And as for Saul, you see, God had to, I mean, it wasn't God, but, you know, God uses everything. Okay? And Saul, that became Paul, was persecuting the church, and because they persecuted the church, you know, the believers had to spread. And as they spread, they start sharing the truth and sharing the gospel with the people that they came in contact with. And one of the first areas that they go, where do you go? Close to Jerusalem and Samaria. Because it's the next step, if you want, moving from there. And what they do there, well, they evidently, the Samaritans were exposed to what they got, which was different from what the Samaritan had. Okay, so let's see here. And as for Paul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. See, they were fire, they were excited because of the new experience. They have been filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes, you know, you are exuberant for quite a while, you know, until something happens and then you just, you know, and shouldn't be that, but sometimes happened that way. And the idea that these people were excited, they were sharing their experience, even with the Samaritans, evidently. Then Philip. You know, if you remember, Philip in chapter 6 was one of the you know, what is he called there? Deacon. The deacons there ministering to people, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, he had a powerful experience in the Holy Spirit and was ministering under the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and things were happening when Philip was sharing, you know. And see what happens. Yes, this is interesting because, you know, if we think about through it, says, you know, what's wrong with this? And we're going to see that something was strange. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ to them. That was a big step already for a Jew like him. Okay? Because, you know, if you remember, even Peter wasn't, you know, was pretty sticky about that. And the multitude with one accord heeded to the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You see, these people weren't possibly, their knowledge, their understanding of the Bible was limited. They were messed up, but they were open. See, don't go by somebody's theology or by somebody's understanding. You know, see their openness. That's what makes the difference. So they saw the things that were happening, and they responded to that. The Jews, that they have all the knowledge that they had, you know, didn't respond as much. Because why? Because they were indoctrinated. See, they had their theology fixed. God is really good about messing up theologians. Anyway. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So Philip was evidently operating in the miraculous, was operating in the supernatural. And because of that, people were responding. Well, you know, this is a very good way of getting people to respond that don't believe anything. I mean, you know, people that are not new believer already, okay, they see a miracle and, you know, the other accept it or reject it, but quite a few do accept it. So, you know, this idea that goes around today about seeker meeting, you know, seeker-oriented meeting, that, you know, they water down everything so that everybody is, everything is acceptable to non-believer, is nonsense. It's not scriptural. Amen. Hello? See, it doesn't work. He's not watering down the gospel that produces the results in the non-believers. He's showing the power of the gospel that makes the difference. Hello? See, that is new doctrine that made of man, not of God. Because here you can see in the Bible that all the time the people came to Jesus because he performed miracles, not because he was, you know, doing it in the back door, back room. Hello? He did. Philip was having success with the Samaritan because he was performing miracles. You want to bring somebody to the Lord that doesn't know, pray for them when they are sick on the street and they get healed. I'll tell you, they're going to listen to you. Instead of trying to tell them philosophical stories about, you know, your doctrines. Who cares? They don't have any different. They don't know any different. They don't know any better. But if they, you know, if they are sick and they get healed, they're going to listen to you because they haven't got it from anybody else. See, Paul says it very clearly, that your faith may be based on, you know, from the power of God. Not on the philosophies of man. Sometimes, you know, it's easier to get non-believers healed than believers healed. Because they have not been indoctrinated in anything else. It doesn't happen all the time, but here evidently it was taking place. It says, for verse 7, for unclean spirit, crying with a loud voice, came out of many and were possessed. See, these people were demonized. The way they, you know, the Samaritan was so messed up, they were full of demons. Yet they were open. Hello? Do you see that doesn't make any difference? But God's power is what makes the difference. So, but there is a backstory of this that we had to come to, and that's why I'm sharing you this today. It came out that they were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. I mean, I believe it. You know, if people start to get healed, if people start to receive things, you know, they're not going to go and be long-faced Christians. They're going to be excited about it. So this was Philip's ministry. See, he was anointed, And his experience was that to go around to heal people. He was moving the Holy Spirit. I mean, the anointing of God was upon him, and he could go out there and minister to the people that needed to receive it, you know, in supernatural ways. But says then it was, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people in Samaria, claiming him there was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." I mean, this guy was had some results too, but evidently weren't as good as Philip. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorcery for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached these things concerning the kingdom of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. You see, so as a result of believing, they were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So you can see what's taking place here. Just put yourself in the scene. I mean, Philip goes there. Everybody sees the miracles that are taking place. See, they never heard about Jesus. They never heard about miracles. And they start seeing things happening all over the place. They were excited. They were saved. They were baptized. But it stops there. All right. Now, let's continue here. Now, when the apostles, this was in Jerusalem, who were in Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them, saying that they may receive the Holy Spirit. You're going to say, well, what's the matter here? There were all these miracles. There were manifestations of supernatural power. What, you know, why this? They went there just for the purpose of getting to get the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, the supernatural power of God was there already. The Holy Spirit evidently was there already to perform all these things. They were born again. They were saved. They were, but you know, immersed in water. But they did not yet receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see that there is another step. Why Peter and John went there for so that they received the Holy Spirit? Well, because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit, and then you can go to go around spreading, you know, and go and ministering to others. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is important among other things to be able to minister to other people. The apostles too have received the Holy Spirit before they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, for they had, for verse 16, for as yet he, the Holy Spirit, had fallen upon none of them. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, this is important to understand because people make rules out of their own understanding without going on the Word of God and really seeing what the Word of God says. And the Holy Spirit is one of the areas in which we really had to go to the Word of God to try to understand about it. Because we make God to say lots of things that are what we say instead of what He says. Okay. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, and this is, you know, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, that's what they did up to that moment. You know, they were exposed to the truth. You know, evidently, what does it tell you this? That Philip was preaching salvation. Philip was preaching what Jesus has done so that they could be saved, but he wasn't preaching about the Holy Spirit. Evidently, his anointing and his ministry was that he was operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. He had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he did not have understanding about how to operate, how to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because otherwise he would have done it. Now, Peter and John, you know, it's funny, you know, Peter, I understand it. John, I understand it less, because, you know, it doesn't look like the very charismatic guy. This is a loving guy. Okay, you just read all the epistles that we just almost finished. There's one more to go, one more block to go. You know, and the guy wasn't really talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this epistle, was he? Was talking about the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Was talking about this thing. So, you know, I wouldn't have. I'm surprised that John joined together with Peter to go there and says, you know, wait a minute, you haven't got the whole thing. Okay? So what happened? They laid hands, both of them, they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. You see, these people were open. They just, you know, when people are open, just tell them, they suck it in. They take anything you got. Because they are unblocked by all these blocks that generally stop us from receiving stuff. Our, you know, the theological ideas, our negative experiences, what people told us before and everything else. You know, all these things affect your ability to receive. Because they affect your belief system. But when your belief system is tabula rasa, you know, just clean, there is nothing there, you know, everything that you say that you trust the person, you just take it. Okay? Now there is, and so, you know, the point is how, but they lay hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. Point is, how did they know that they received the Holy Spirit? I mean, you can't tell me because they were miracles, because they were miracles before. There was joy. Oh, there was joy before because, you know, the whole city was rejoicing. So there must have been something specific here that told them this is new. And it's the same thing that happened at the very beginning when the Holy Spirit fell on the 120 or whatever they were there, and they start speaking in other tongues. So that was the sign, was the evidence that was at the beginning. It was the evidence that was all over the time, all the time, when the people were baptizing the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a step of faith that has to take place inside us so that we yield to Him to be able to express what is there so that we had the confirmation of what took place. Now there is an interesting story coming after about Simon the sorcerer. And I don't want to go into that because it doesn't really deal, and I don't have the time. Doesn't really deal with the issue of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Just deal with Peter ideas. Okay. So, and personality. So I won't go into to get into that. But the idea is this, though. There is a point. Well, I actually had to go into that because Peter has a... Peter had a personality that got him in trouble all the time. And, you know, has a big mouth and a short fuse. And that's not a good combination. You get in trouble when, you know, when you have those characteristics, you have to go to God and says, God, please help me because I need to be fixed in this area. You know, and I really think that's typical of Peter, you know, in many, you can see in many situations. But there is something that he said, but that doesn't mean, you see, we don't need to be perfect to be used by God. Peter was not perfect. And we had to believe, you know, we had to understand that God uses you and me, you know, and used Peter, and you know, in through the process in which we connect with God, He transforms us. He changes us. He changes us better and better so that we can grow closer to Him and we can receive the things that He has. But I don't have the time to share with you what I wanted to share with you, so I had to postpone that to next week. And so you're going to hang on for there and going to come next week if you want to hear. But there is something very important that Peter said to Simon the sorcerer. And I'm just going to read that to you so that you're going to think about it for the whole week. You know, see, you know, says your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. See, actually, what he was saying was much more than that. See, you cannot con God in doing anything with you because of the things that you do. Do I have to repeat that? See, you cannot push God to do things for you because of the things you do. The only thing that is going to move God is your faith, not your works. You know, your works, money is a symbol of your works, isn't it? I mean, you get money because you work. Well, you know, what's the difference between trying to buy God's favor with your money or buy God's favor with the good deeds that you have done? Hello? I leave you with that. You know, because we do that all the time. We just operate like Simon the sorcerer, trying to buy God for the good things that we do so that we are deserving to receive the things that He has for us. We are not deserving the things that are for us. He makes us deserving. And the only way we get deserving is because we believe in what Jesus has done and we don't look at ourselves. Hello? You see, we fall so easily into self-condemnation and unworthiness, feeling unworthy, when instead has nothing to do with our worthiness, has to do with Jesus' worthiness, because He was the one that released the Holy Spirit. He is the one that gave it to us. It's a gift. Not something that we can buy with the things we do or the things that we buy, we owe our money. So actually, here Peter taught a very important concept to us that goes contrary to much of the Pentecostal teaching of today. That if you don't receive the Holy Spirit, it's because there is some sin in you or something that you are not worthy. I'm sorry, this is not the way you're going to get it. That's not the way you're going to be saved. You're not the way that you're going. The only way you're going to get it is by faith, the same way as you receive through salvation. You see, He's the one that cleanses you, not the you that you're going to be to be cleansed so that you get the things that He wants to give you in the first place. With that, I close for today. You know, we have to learn to go to God in His terms, not our terms. And then the gifts are there for us. See, often Christians have been Christian for a long time. They try to do everything perfect, everything right, and they can't receive any miracles. Why? Because they try in their own strength. is not our strength. Jesus said, I am the vine. We just finished singing the song, you know, I found a new way of life. You know, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. So let's stop trying to do things without him and allow him to actually work inside us, to change us and to make us the way. So it's not work anymore. It's not the effort that we make. It's, you know, Christianity is a effortless transformation. And if it's effort, you know, with effort, transformation is not Christianity. It's your psychology idea. Oops, we are going to close for today. You get anything today? Wasn't long, but that's important. It's important. And we're going to make a difference. You see, you're going to stop trying to do things to deserve God's favor. Instead, receive God's favor by faith, and you're going to be transformed as a result of that. Let's close in prayer, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you. Thank you that, Lord, it's you, not us. It's your power. It's your righteousness. It's your anointing. It's your healing. It's your forgiveness. It's your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, today, as we just come together to receive the truth that sets us free. Free from religion, free from bondage, free from sickness, free from pain, free. Who the Son set free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.